Music venues seem to come and go, much like a lot of the bands that play them. But what happens when you gut your old barn and turn it into a welcoming space for the community to take in some live music?
Some call it the Bad Word Barn or the Barn Sessions. Well, because we can't say its real name on the air, we're just going to call it the Barn. And from spring to fall, it hosts performances from talented local and national musicians, including the band we're hearing right now, El Valiente, who will play there this summer.
In today's edition of Curious Wisconsin, we're talking with Chris Staples, founder of the Spring Green-based music venue, which since 2010 continues to draw audiences from all over the Midwest. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Rob.
So give us a bit of backstory. Why did you decide to turn an old barn into a music venue?
Well, why not? beyond that, we purchased the barn with the intent of building a brewery on the property, and we did so just before the economy tanked in the mid-late 2000s. And so we were sitting on property in a building that was being unused and unfulfilled. And so we started to do some art and music events there and couldn't help but note that it sounded great and that people liked being there.
And it feels like I've seen a lot of bands at bars. It feels like a barn. That's a weird, non-traditional place to have music. Or you could think of it the other way. This is a super traditional place to have music. Does it feel that way? Like, hey, this is how it used to be?
Wow, that's a great question. and I don't think so. I think that that rather than hearkening to a time when, it hearkens to its own moment and its own place. It feels very much of itself, which maybe sounds a little heady, but the building really informs how we book and how we go about our business there.
Well, talk us through the layout and the feel of the place. What's it like to play there and what's it like to see music there?
It's intimate. It's integrated. That is, there's no stage. So the audience and the artist kind of exist on the same physical plane. And it's a really relaxing place to listen. And so unlike sort of a more typical bar context, it's really focused on what's happening on the non-stage and what's happening in the interaction between the people and the artists.
And do the artists tend to just hang out with the crowd until they're set and then come out and mingle after?
They have no option but to do so because there's
no green room.
Right. Okay. So that's a hurdle we have to get over often in booking national and touring artists. Well, where do we relax? Well, where everybody else relaxes. So it's very much of the people.
We'll give a little clip here from a show you sent us last year, Eau Claire musician S. Carey, the end of a song, and I think maybe the end of a set. Let's give a listen.
Like the wheel that will take you on.
Thank you, guys. I wish every show was like this.
I wish every show was like this, he says at the end. Do you hear that a lot from the bands who come through?
Yeah, I think in particular the ones who have not experienced it as audience members. You know, they just don't know what they're going to get when they're there. And certainly the name sort of, you know, adds to the mystery, as it were. And
the S-wordy barn? Why do I want to play there?
Yeah, right, exactly. So, you know, so a little self-deprecating humor goes a long way and setting expectations really low. And then when artists arrive and play and have a very receptive and attentive audience, it really makes a difference for them.
Apart from his comment at the end there, the other thing I noted in that clip is that's pretty good sound. I mean, that's better than I've heard at a lot of music venues around town here.
Yeah, it's absolutely a happy accident of that space. Had we hosted some art events and music and it sounded terrible in there, I don't think we'd be doing what we're doing. We wouldn't have tried to push the river. But it sounded great, and so we just kind of went with it.
Did you put a lot of work into the acoustics there and putting up baffles and things on the ceiling, or did it just happen?
No, not a thing, in fact.
Awesome.
It just sounds good in there.
Beautiful. Well, I haven't been there myself. I gather it's in a residential neighborhood, maybe even with an earshot of surrounding neighbors. What's the local response been in the community?
Sure. In fact, it's in the industrial park in Spring Green, which abuts the neighbors. And the response has been largely welcoming. We have a great relationship with the village of Spring Green as well as the local gendarme. Everybody gets along pretty well there. I think there's an instinct in that community to do what advances the community within reason, of course. And so we're pretty respectful of the neighbors. We start early and end early, and the sound pressure in there is pretty light most of the time.
And how do you set the mix of artists you bring in? What give us a taste of the range and variety.
Sure. Well, the venue certainly lends itself to sort of the rustic Americana, vaguely acoustic-y kind of stuff. But that doesn't represent our full realm of interest. So first and foremost, we book what we like. Mm-hmm. So we have to be really interested in what an artist is doing to, you know, to want to spend our Wednesday with them. That said, we try and get a mix of about a third local artists with a third national touring artist with a third regional artist. That tends to make a pretty nice balance. And then stylistically, we're kind of all over the map, whatever tickles our fancy.
Marsha on Facebook says, I bet the Kraus Family Band, heard on a Prairie Home Companion and Simply Folk here on WPR, would be a perfect fit for the venue. Are people lining up either to suggest bands or suggest their own bands to play there?
Yeah, I'm really not very good at saying no. So in the early days, that meant that the scheduling was a bit more chaotic. And over time, we've gotten much better at sort of having a way of relating and communicating to people who have suggestions and want to play. And my advice is be patient, both as an audience member and as an artist. And you know, we try and accommodate as much as we can. And again, we book what we like. So there's that factor, too.
A while back, Spring Green was listed in, I think, Smithsonian as one of the best towns to visit in the country. We had Jim DeVita on from American Players Theater and volunteer EMT in Spring Green. He listed your venue as one of the things that makes Spring Green a great art scene. How do you see yourself fitting into that Spring Green culture?
Without a doubt, we are able to take advantage of a history of Madisonians who know that Spring Green is a place to come and can be accessed on a weekday. I think if you were to draw a radius around the isthmus of an hour and look in any other direction, it might be harder to get people to move on a Wednesday night in those directions. So we've definitely benefited. We've also been able to benefit from looking at the operations of other arts organizations in town. APT, of course, very successfully does what they do, and we're delighted to have a relationship with them. And importantly, they've sort of taught us how to go about setting up events and sort of pre-selling tickets, kind of getting the audience excited well in advance of the season. So that's certainly been to our benefit. Generally speaking, the community is really welcoming of arts enterprises that are imbued with passion or reasonably well thought out. I can accept credit for the first, maybe not the second.
Well, and when you got into this, speaking of all the help you got from them, did you kind of know what you're getting into, or was it just kind of, hey, kids, let's put on a show, and then you saw what work went into it?
Ignorance on fire. I think that would be the best way to describe how we got going and our general approach is to, you know, put our head down, put our shoulder into it, keep our legs moving, and don't think about it too much.
You've got a lot of acts coming through in the summer. What are some of the highlights you're looking forward to? All of them, I'm sure, because you book what you like. But what are some that you're particularly excited about?
Yeah, which baby should I say I don't love, Rob? I am particularly excited about Martin Dosh's return next week. I love seeing Charlie Parr at the Barn. It really is a great place for him. It suits him well. As far as folks I haven't seen at the Barn, Spirit Family Reunion in July will be really exciting. And in terms of some of my local faves, I would say Count This Penny. Great folks, good friends, but the show sold out, so I shouldn't say that. That said, we have El Valiente, Icarus himself coming up. That's great. Collections of Colonies of Bees, pretty terrific. I could just list them all.
Are you a music guy yourself? Do you ever play? Do you play anything or perform? Or
I have, but I would be loath to take much credit for that.
Okay, and you don't get up on your own stage and play?
No, I get up on my own stage and talk, which may or may not be a good thing. But no, I don't play.
Okay, and what's the next show? Is that the Dosh show you mentioned?
That is the Dosh show.
Okay, I know. In just a minute, we're going to go out with Dosh. other people around the state might think, hey, I want to do something, you know, maybe not exactly like this, but encouraging word for somebody who wants to start their own arts endeavor.
Sure. Do what's true to where you can do it. Grow where you're planted, as the saying goes, and make sure your community is on board with you.
Great. We'll leave it there. Chris, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That's Chris Staples. He's founder of the Barn Sessions, the S-wordy barn, or the bad word barn, as it's called locally sometimes. It's located over in Spring Green.